And today is the second Sunday after Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But today, I wanted to speak about the obligations of the wife. That is the last of my sermons on the obligations of the family members. The men were concerned that I was going to forget this. But the wife has many obligations in the home. First of all, of course, we should go into the Epistle of St. Paul, and the Epistle to the Ephesians, in which he speaks about the obligations of the husband and the wife. The husband's obligation to love his wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife's obligation to obey her husband, because the husband is the head of the wife. Okay. That's one thing very important to remember. The husband is the head of the wife. The wife must see in her husband the image of Christ. She must, even when it's hard, she must see in him Christ and obey him as such. That will be, make it a lot easier for her to fulfill her duties as a wife. So there are many, many obligations of the wife. First of all, concerning children. You know, I think a lot of people today are so confused and ignorant about the true notion of marriage that many marriages are perhaps not even valid. See, for marriage to be valid, the man and the woman must both understand what marriage means. And that, of course, means marriage means to have children, right? And to have an indissoluble unity, union between one man and one woman, right? And these two doctrines so often today are denied by either the man or the woman. In other words, if one believes in divorce, right? If the guy says, well, hopefully it'll work out, but if it doesn't, I'll just get divorced and, you know, get married, marry someone else. Well, he can't marry validly, you know, because in order to have a valid marriage, a person must believe in the indissoluble union of the marriage. And if you believe that it can be broken by man, then you can't say in your vows, till death do us part. And if you can't say that with true meaning, then it's invalid. So maybe a lot of marriages today are invalid because so many people believe in divorce. Another cause for an invalid marriage, well, you know, the husband and wife must give to each other the right to have children. The right to have children. St. Paul calls this right the marriage debts, right, to give each other, to give oneself to each other in the marriage. And the right must be given. And if the woman does not give to her husband the right over her body, to have children, then the marriage cannot be valid. And if the husband refuses to give the right over his body to his wife, then the marriage cannot be valid. You see, this is in reference to having children, and this is why another reason why perhaps many marriages are not valid today. You know, and it makes it difficult because of all the Catholics trying to seek annulments. Because so many of them are not valid. And you wonder, well, pretty soon, I mean, you say, how can this be valid? You know, 3 or 4 children or 10 children, now all of a sudden it wasn't a valid marriage and they're annulled and they're going to get another marriage. It's crazy. But on the other hand, it's true that maybe there are a lot of valid annulments because of the reasons I just mentioned. And it's hard sometimes, because I've had many marriage cases we've had to go through, and so sometimes there are valid annulments, and you really can't give the reasons because they're very delicate. So it is hard for us because we don't want to approve of false and fictitious annulments. It's basically it's Catholic divorce. That's an abuse in the church, and that can't be tolerated, you know. So we have to use our head and encourage the children, right, just as parents, and encourage your children to be very serious and very responsible when they date. Because once you enter into marriage, it's till death, right, till death. And it's to have children, right? And sometimes, too, the Catholics have a false notion of this, of, say, spacing children or the so-called rhythm method or periodic abstinence. So I think it's important to explain to you the doctrine of the Church on that. Because God wants the husband and wife to receive as many children as He wants to give to them, right? That they can raise well and give back to Him. So obviously, in reference to having children, abortion is a mortal sin. Sure. And artificial contraception is a mortal sin. We don't need to go into all the ways that is done, but everyone knows that's a mortal sin and it can never change. The Church will never change the doctrine on that because it's contrary to the natural law. Concerning the spacing of children, though, what do the popes teach on that? What do the theologians teach? Okay, obviously, in marriage, there are two obligations that must be protected by the husband and wife. The first is the obligation to protect the purity of marriage. Right? Therefore, no abortion, no birth control, no other sins against purity between husband and wife. The second obligation is the obligation to the married states, and that is to have children. See, there's another obligation to have children. That's why a husband and wife get married. And what is it that can excuse them from having children? See, that's the thing. Now, the so-called rhythm method I'm not going to explain the method, obviously, but it's the periodic abstinence. As far as the marriage intimacy, there's no sin because they're following the laws of God and avoiding artificial contraception and abortion. But is it really permitted to practice this, to, you know, purposely not to have the children? That's the question. Now, a lot of Catholics are confused and are unfortunately taking too many liberties on this point, you see. And so what the Church teaches on this, I have the even when I give marriage instructions, I've photocopied the doctrines of Pope Pius XII, because he had to go into more explicitation on this to explain it. And then the theologians, the unanimous teaching of the theologians, so that we know what is right. Okay, first of all, there are two preliminary conditions for the so-called periodic abstinence. In other words, in itself, it's not a sin, but there must be a sufficient reason to use it, you see. The first two conditions are that there must be mutual consent and no danger of sin. There cannot be any danger to sin if the husband and wife feel there's a very, very serious reason to space a child for some reason right now. Okay, those two conditions are capital first. Then the Pope goes on to explain that there are four excusing causes for husband and wife to, let's say, observe or be allowed to use this method for a period of time. And he goes on to say that they are in one of four categories: either a serious economic reason, as far as money, a serious social reason in society, in the family situation, a serious medical reason, right? A medical condition which must be cleared up first, right? Or eugenic reasons, serious eugenic reason, the passing down of blindness or insanity or, you know, whatever, a serious congenital disease. And there must be a serious reason. It can't be for the sake of convenience. Well, it'd be nice to save a little extra money for a couple, 2, 3, 4 years so we can, buy a motor home so we can travel around the country. But that's not Catholic, you see. And I think God is punishing also the Catholic families because there is not the spirit of self-sacrifice in having children. Church has always loved the families that had the large number of children, you see. And God has always rewarded them. So let us, have the proper understanding with this. The Church does allow the use of a rhythm, but it's not, the ideal is, of course, perfect abstinence, to not have children for a time, perfect abstinence. But St. Paul does say in his epistle that if you want to give yourself to God for a time in abstinence, right, to pray and so on, that's wonderful. But don't make it too long, otherwise there could be a danger of incontinency later on, So obviously the obligation of husband and wife toward each other has to be protected. So that's the first obligation of the wife, to be there for her husband, to have children. But the husband, and of course on his part, must see in his wife a person that he loves. He must not see her as an object for his own pleasure. And that's a big, big mistake if he does that. St. Paul also goes on to say that the man was not created for the woman. The woman was created for man. Right? And he goes on also to say that it was not Adam who sinned first, it was Eve who sinned first. Right? But he said that the woman shall save her soul and be sanctified by childbearing, by having children. And it's true, some women have a very, very hard time. They're sick the entire pregnancy. I've known some, even those in relatives, who about die. Right? These poor girls. they can't eat anything, can't even drink anything. And they have to go to the hospital this one had to go to the hospital every day for the IV to have food, to have nourishment. She would have starved to death. So it's a very heroic thing, but it's an obligation. So The wives, be there for your husband and be faithful to your duty to have children according to the will of God and according, of course, to Christian responsibility and prudence. The wife must love her husband. She must prove to him that she loves him and must not show her affection to anyone else. That's why the wife must be very careful not to flirt with other men. And it does happen. Maybe not necessarily intentionally, but it does happen, right? Just like the men have to be very careful to be faithful to their wives, right? The wife has to be very careful not to try to get the attention of another man, right? In a wrong way. So let her be faithful to this. Otherwise, he will begin to question, begin to become suspicious and jealous, right? Nothing worse, well, almost nothing worse than to have a jealous husband or a jealous wife. Makes it for a very unhappy marriage. After the first few months of marriage, the honeymoon spirit is gone. You know, when a man and a woman are dating, they are very happy. They are very self-sacrificing. And they are very, very careful not to show their faults. Very patient. Well, after the few months, or maybe a year, they become very comfortable with each other. And they see each other's faults day in and day out. So now it comes to a point when they can't stand it anymore. They're going to say what they feel. Okay? And this is when love is going to be tested, right? That's after the marriage. It's not before. That's why it's during the time of courtship that the man and woman must be very responsible, right? They must be very responsible and mature and pure, very chaste. Those who are not chaste before marriage and indulge in every kind of sinful liberty, right, will be punished by God in the marriage. So that's why it's important for the young man and young woman to be pure before, and if there are any mistakes, to make up for them by penance before they get married. After the marriage, when the true love has to be tested, this is when the wife must especially realize that her husband is the head of the family. The husband is the head. I will obey him in all things but sin. So the first obligation in the marriage is to show respect and obedience to her husband. Sure. Not just obedience, but also the respect and reverence. In other words, to obey without complaining, without a bad attitude. Right? Be submissive. Wives, be submissive to your husband. But like I mentioned to the husbands, it's up to the husband, it's up to you to show yourself in charge. How many wives are simply discouraged or ashamed of their husbands because they don't assume this role of being the head of the family? And so they take over because maybe they have inclinations to have a strong will, or maybe because they feel they have to because the husband is irresponsible. Right? So wives, right, see in your husband Christ and therefore your head. Obey him in all things. Be prompt and cheerful in your obedience, and be patient with him when he's a little bit unreasonable. Everyone knows that a man can be unreasonable at times, but the man or the husband has an obligation not to give unreasonable commands to his wife. He must not. You know how children rebel against parents if the parents are unreasonable to them. So certainly, husbands, do not be unreasonable to your wife. Right? Be reasonable to them and be loving to them that they may love you back. Okay, wives, don't be bossy and don't be a nag. Don't quarrel. Right? Nothing uglier than to see the wife, you know, pinpoint with precision every fault of her husband. Now, he can't stand that. You know, maybe he won't say it, but it forms a resentment inside of him. And it actually can make a husband timid. Some men, instead of falling into anger and meanness, they fall into a timidity. Right? And then they, instead of acting adversely, they simply don't act at all. They don't do anything. You see? And that's the reaction that they have. Right? It's true. I mean, obviously, the man and the woman come from different backgrounds, so it's not possible to always agree on everything. You're going to have disagreements in the marriage, but there can always be a happy solution. The husband and wife must listen to each other, listen to each other's concerns, and then find the happy solution. And if they still both want their own opinion, obviously, the husband is the one who has to make the choice. It has to be this way, and the wife will say, all right, and we'll accept that. You see, it has to be that way. If the husband doesn't love you, if your husband doesn't love you, well, maybe it's because you're not lovable. Are you being lovable to your husband? Or are you irritable? Are you bitter? Are you negative? Pessimistic? You see? husband doesn't want that kind of a wife, you know. And sometimes it happens that that's why the husband doesn't show love to his wife, because she's not being lovable. Your husband doesn't like to come home. Maybe it's because you constantly nag him and criticize him. Maybe you continually point out every fault that he has. And he can't stand being around that. You know? Of course, husbands, remember your obligation to correct your faults so that your wife doesn't have to do this to you, perhaps, you know. So, but still, the wives, don't do that. The man won't want to be home with you if all you do is condemn him, you know, and criticize a fault. Remember, wives, you have an obligation to actively cultivate your husband's love. Right? You must often manifest signs of your affection for him. The husband needs love too. Sure, the wife needs love. But the husband needs love too. He won't show it. Husbands are big boys. They're very independent. They don't want anybody to know that they are hurt. But they do get hurt. You know? So wives, love your husbands. Show them affection, you know, and consideration and kindness. So important. Always strive to be feminine around the house. Let the wife always look feminine. Right? Skirts and dresses, you know. It's sad sometimes if the wife is always running around in her 501s, in her jeans, or in her sweats, you know. No, the husband needs to see the femininity in his wife. That's why he married her. He wants to see someone different than him. So, of course, there are maybe exceptions, but as a general rule, let the wife show that she is feminine to her husband. Let her always take care of her personal appearance. The wife has an obligation to look attractive to her husband. You know that. How many husbands, hopefully it doesn't happen, if the husband is ashamed to take his wife anywhere because she always dresses awful. She always wears this old dress and she looks ugly. She doesn't take care of her hair, thinking that it's more virtuous to look ugly, you know, in order not to get the attention of people. Well, that's not virtue at all. See, virtue is to make the perfection of the nature that God gave you, right? Not to make it ugly. Okay, therefore, the woman should look attractive to her husband. And whatever she knows will please him, as long as it's nothing sinful, of course. She should do that for him, you see. That way he can be proud of her, you see. So that's important for her to do this. That's why even the theologians say it's permitted for a wife to put on a little bit of makeup. Of course, they say a little bit. Right? right? I think sometimes you have a lot of exaggerations today. Some of these women, they put the eyeshadow and everything on, all you see are these colors on their face. You don't really see the natural beauty of the girl. Okay. That has to be avoided too. So the husband can see that the real girl, she doesn't want to paint herself up so that she's someone she's not. The wife should also preserve the atmosphere of peace and simple comfort in the home. Let it be a nice place for the husband to come to. Right? The home should be a very peaceful place. Not a place of screaming and yelling and fighting between the mother and the children. Or whatever the case may be. And of course, everyone knows that the husband has interests, business interests, right? Well, let the wife take an intelligent interest in the business affairs of her husband. Right? Let it be a little bit intelligent so that he feels that, you know, she kind of does care about his likes too, you know. She should be a good listener. A wife needs to be a good listener to her husband. Sometimes the wife says, "Why doesn't he ever talk to me?" Maybe because you never listen to the things he wants to say first. See? You always maybe start the conversation on what you want to talk about, and he doesn't want to talk about that, at least not yet. So he doesn't want to talk. You see? So be a good listener to your husband. Be friendly to his friends. That's important. Be friendly to his friends. Be friendly to his parents, to his family. It's important. He loves them. If you love your husband, you will love the people he loves too. At least to be patient with them, show them the love of Christ. If they're a little harder to get along with, right? Show them the love of Christ. Another important thing is for the wife to share his enthusiasm in his favorite sports or his favorite types of recreation. Sure. Very simple, practical things. And all this boils down to the fact that she loves her husband because she sees in him the image of Christ. And she will obey and reverence him because of this and do whatever is necessary to please him. The next obligation refers to domestic cares, the cares of the home. What does the wife have to do around the house? Right? She has to cook. Let the wife be a good cook. How many girls today don't know how to cook? Well, you know the old saying, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. There's a lot of truth in that in a certain sense, sure. The wife has to be a good cook, and if you don't know how to cook, get a cookbook. Right? This is why in the bigger families, the girls learn how to cook from the mother and the father, you see. And they become very good cooks, and they know how to bake bread and all this. It's very important that they can be domesticated, so they are ready to marry. Now, how would a husband feel coming home and hot dogs again, or hamburgers, right? Or they went out to get Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know? No, let the woman be, let her show originality in the food she prepares for the family. Some originality, you know. Make it nice, sure. Of course, at the same time, she has the obligation to do the dishes when she's done. We know that children will help with the dishes when they get to the age when they can help. And they will help willingly without complaining. Right? But then we already talked about that on the obligations of children. The wife also has the obligation to wash the clothes, to mend the clothes. If the socks are torn, if the shirts are torn, if the buttons are coming off. Right? To take care of these things around the house. Not simply to say, well, there's a little tear, I'll throw this away and we'll buy another shirt. No. You know, have to be frugal in the family. The wife has to dress the children, right? To dress them properly, to give them the clothes that they need. Normally it's up to the wife, because the husband is busy, the wife will go out doing the shopping, and he'll give the wife the money she needs. But she must not buy things that he tells her she can't buy. I told you not to buy this, right? So she must obey her husband in reference to spending money, right? How often can that happen when you, right? I heard this the other day, a story. They say if a woman is too, wife is too sick to go to church, the only way you can prove it is when you get home, you ask her if she wants to go shopping. And if she's well enough to go shopping, then she wasn't really sick and she should have gone to church. Right? So that is, that's more of the weakness for the woman to, when she goes into a store, to want to shop. Right? So let her just be obedient to her husband and practice the spirit of poverty. Not to want things. Avarice is something that she has to fight. What about the husband who always leaves his clothes around the house? His socks are everywhere and so on and so forth. Let the husband, the wife, yeah, she should correct him lovingly, right? But otherwise she'll have to be patient. But it's wrong for the husband to leave, takes his shoes off, they stay there, the socks stay there, the coat stays there. You know, it drives the wife crazy to run around the house to keep this tidying up after her husband. So let the husband not do that. It makes it hard for the wife to obey him. But at the same time, the wives might be patient with him. Correct him lovingly. Right? There are things you can do. But so let the wife keep that house clean. I've been over houses sometimes in different parishes. And, you know, it's sad. You know, it's not clean. It's dirty. No. The house is the castle of the husband. Let the house be clean. You never know when who's going to pop in, when father's going to pop in, or when someone else, maybe the boss, is going to come over to see your husband. No, you better make sure that your house is clean. Keep it tidy, right? Be sure the bathrooms are clean. They'll come in, where's the bathroom? Oh, I forgot to clean the bathroom. That's a filthy pig pen. Okay, make sure you keep the house clean at all times as far as possible. You never know. And that's an obligation of the wife to do this, because the house is the good pride of the husband. And he wants, if he brings friends home from work, he wants to be able to show the men, his friends, the nice house, not the messy house. Right? So keep the house clean. The floor is clean. The bathroom's clean. Wives, don't be over social and don't gossip. Sometimes a lot of the work is not done because the wives simply talk on the phone. Or they go over and visit. They drink two pots of coffee, just talking. Right? No, practice the silence of Our Lady. Right? And be faithful to your duties. Especially, don't reveal or repeat some of the things your husband says to you. Now, sometimes the husband speaks to you in confidence, or certain private things he just wants you to know about, and then if you go gossip about these things to your girlfriends or parents, that's just wrong, you see. Then certainly don't complain about your husband to your parents. Never do that. Don't complain about him, you see. Don't complain about him to your friends. And definitely do not try to seek, if there are difficulties in marriage, don't try to seek a consolation or compassion from other men. Don't do that. It's a natural tendency, but you must not do that. You're going to find yourself in big trouble. So these are some of the obligations around the home for the wife to be faithful to. What about the working wife? Is it okay for the mother to work? Aren't men and women equal? Remember, the obligation of the wife is to have her children and to raise a family. Therefore, it is not permitted for her to work outside the house when she has children to take care of. It's a sin of irresponsibility, and the children will go astray. Okay? There are some exceptions, obviously. Nature is reasonable. Exceptions could be before you have children. Maybe it'll be 1, 2, 3, 4 years before you can have a child. Well, of course you can work. You're not going to stay around the house and do nothing. Sure, you can work and bring home money to help save money for future expenses you may have. Or let's say later on when all the children are now in school, and maybe you have a teaching ability and you want to maybe help in a school, or have nursing qualifications in the past, you want to help in a hospital during the day when the children are at school. Well, maybe that could be done if there's a reasonable necessity. Or if there's an absolute necessity, the husband is incapacitated, breaks his leg, or he dies. Boy, I hear stories like that where the husband dies at a young age and leaves the wife with several children. Boy, how sad that would be, huh? But the wife would have to go out and work, you see. And that's going to be a necessity. And in the case of a necessity, the grace of God supplies for the rest. If it's necessary for the wife to have to work, for the mother to work, then God's grace will make up for what is lacking. If it's not necessary, the grace won't be there and the children will go astray, you see. So God does make up for necessities. But if it's not necessary, then the grace isn't there and you will be punished, you see. So let the wife realize her obligation to take care of her children first. And the working, of course, obviously that is only with the permission of her husband, so that there is peace. It would be absolutely wrong, for example, for the husband who works, let's say the husband has to work a night job, and he's off all during the day, and the wife wants to work, and she works all day, and they never see each other. That's wrong, you see. See, then she cannot get a job, because it's more important to have a marriage, you see, and to have that marriage break apart because they're never together. And that has happened. I've seen that happen, you see, around the country. So don't let that happen. And it's true, after a few years of married life, the wife sees the monotony of the everyday drudgery, the work, and you know that that honeymoon spirit is gone, that it's gone, right? And then the everyday housewife has dreams of what it could have been like if she had not gotten married, you see. Right? And so she has to fight that temptation. Her duty now is to be faithful to what God has asked her to do as a wife and a mother. And that is where she will be happy. She will not be happy in thinking of what she would like to do. You will only be happy, this refers to everybody, by the way, you will only be happy if you do your duty before God. If you're a wife, you will only be happy as you can be on this earth, if you do your duties before your husband and before God and before your children. You will not be happy if you run after the rainbow somewhere else. You won't be happy. That's a temptation, and you'll be dropped very hard by the devil if you fall into sin because of that, you see. So, let the wife, therefore, be faithful to her obligations toward her husband. And another point we need to make is, what happens if the husband does become very ill? Who's going to take care of the husband? Sometimes it happens that the wife has to take care of him. And you know, wives, remember, the husband is very independent. A man is very independent. It's very humiliating for a man to need someone to take care of him. So be patient with him if he kind of rebels and is hard to get along with when you have to take care of him. It's because he's very humiliated, you see, and it's hard for him. So show him extra kindness and love. But husbands, you must be humble enough to accept that suffering when it does happen to you. Because it happens, not only in old age, but if other sicknesses or disease come. Right. Have that humility to do that. So let the husband and wife love each other, and let the marriage be a true symbol of the union of Christ and the church. Husbands, be faithful to your obligations toward your wife, to your children, and to God. And wives, be faithful to your obligations toward your husband, for the children, and to God. And if you do that, if you focus on your duties, not on your rights, if you focus on your duties, you will find sanctification in your family. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.